Hopefully, we won't have those distractions. But how many of you know distractions are what we have to deal with? Even walking in here, we've come here to set this time apart, to honor God, to connect with God, to worship Him together as a family. And Satan doesn't want that. And so there are all kinds of things that can be brought to our mind right now for us to disengage with God. And for us to be here in this place in what we call a worship service, but we're really not worshiping. And we don't want that. We want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And some of you remember a few minutes ago, if you were in here when we started the service, and you know my job is to click those announcements and stuff as we begin, because I know what's on there, and Sean and I, we kind of coordinate that. And I didn't click it. And he said, well, I think Bill was praying. Well, that's exactly what was happening. Because I was listening to what Sean was saying, and I wasn't listening to Sean, but I was listening for what God was saying, and God spoke to me through what Sean was saying, and so I was in a conversation in my head with the Lord. That's what worship is about, okay? For me to sit in here and listen to Sean give the announcements, or for Sean to give his little devotional message, or I'm fixing to give you a sermon. For you to sit here and to listen to get the points of the truth, because you're self-disciplined enough to listen to that whole time, that's okay. But I mean, you know, you can go on the internet and you can hear a sermon anytime. You know, you can go to a school and take a Bible class, and you can get information. But what God wants is for you to be listening not to the song or to the singer or to the announcement giver or right now to me giving the sermon. But He wants your heart to be open where you are worshiping Him. In other words, you are saying, I'm here because you are worth more than anything else to me. I want you to speak in my heart through whatever is going on in my life, circumstances, words, people, other Christians who are speaking to me, the sermon, whatever it is, I am listening to you. I want your Holy Spirit to touch my heart. I want to be in contact and connection. I want to develop that intimate relationship with you. I put this up to start with. It says, spend time with the Lord simply for the pure pleasure of being in His presence. You know, that's totally different from coming to the Lord because I need the answer to this question, or I need some support for this. And all of those are benefits of our relationship with God. But the thing is that all of those things are available to us moment by moment if we are living in His presence. The benefits of living close to God are that the strength of God is in our lives, and our problems really are that we spend so much of our lives when we're not really aware of His presence. You know, think about it. When we were lost, the Bible says we were dead to God. In other words, we're walking around and we have no awareness that God is right there with us. We have no awareness that God is trying to work. We have no awareness of what God is trying to accomplish in our lives. And so we're just not connected with that at all. And then we're born again, and we are connected with God. We see His love, and we know Him, and we know He loves us. But the fact is we really don't know that much about Him, do we? We really don't know all about what God is doing. God is so much bigger than we are, and He's doing so many things, and we're what's called a baby in Christ. We're not aware of what God's doing, and so what happens is that we spend time where we connect with Him, but as soon as we get up, and we start to walk away. Is this going on and off? Okay. As soon as we walk away, we're aware of the world, but we're not aware of who. How many of you live large portions of your life like that? Where you turn around and you realize, you know, where was God? I know He's right here with me. I know He's even leading me. But, you know, I haven't thought about Him. And so I haven't really been aware of His presence for hours. I can remember when I went to work, and for 8 hours, from the time I walked in to the time I walked out, I was not aware of that God was there at all, because I had too many things to do, too many things I was focused on. How many of you have experienced that? And maturity in the Christian life is realizing that God is here. He's always ready to lead and to speak to me, but he has to have my what? He has to have my attention. And if I give my attention to something else, and I start focusing on that, the next thing you know, I know God's with me, but I've forgotten where he is. And I'm living as if he did not exist. It's just interesting that God says, slow down. He says, be still. Just slow down and know that I am God. I'm right here. I'm working. Quit going so fast. Listen and look to see what's going on in your life. I'm trying to do some incredibly important, eternal things that will bring overwhelming joy and satisfaction and confidence and strength into your life. Slow down and just look and listen for a moment. Connect with me. But our flesh, our human nature, it's always telling us what? Speed up. You got a lot of things coming on. You got deadlines. You got to get prepared for that test. You got to get that deadline met. You've got people coming over tonight. You've got a million things to do. How many of you are like me? No matter how many you do, the list grows bigger. As hard as I work to accomplish the tasks on my list, when I turn around, my list was bigger than it was when I started. And so if I'm going to let human nature drive me and I'm going to listen to that voice, pretty soon I'm going to go so fast that I've got time to do everything, maybe nothing well, but I'm trying to do everything. The only thing I don't have time for is what? And so I become unaware of him. I get out there in life and God says, wait and trust me. When something happens in my life and things pop up, he says, be still. Wait, don't react. Just be calm. I'm in control. I didn't let this come into your life to destroy you. Don't panic. Just step back a second. Check in with me. See how I want you to respond. Don't worry about the circumstances. I'm taking care of those things. Just wait and trust me and let me work. You know what our flesh says? I got to fix this when. There's a problem that popped up. I got to do something to get this problem solved or get this person out of the way. I got to take control. I got to manipulate this circumstance or these people so that my life is now on the pattern that I had imagined. The agenda that I had set for myself, the goals that I had for myself. I got to get these things back in order. How many of you feel pressure to get your life back in order? And when something pops up, something unexpected, something in reality that God is using in our lives, our immediate reaction is to get this tool God put in our lives out of our lives so that we can go back to the grindstone of trying to get everything done that we need to get done. Lose that awareness. And last week we started talking about how if we're going to really walk with Christ, we have to understand how God designed us. Because God designed us as emotional creatures. We have got emotions inside of us. And the devil wants us to live our lives reacting from our emotions. God wants us to live our lives submitted to him and his authority and obeying the best we can his word as he reveals it to us. He wants us to choose not to do what we feel like, not to live our lives reacting to all the emotions we have, both good and bad, but he wants us to be still, to slow down, to be connected with him, to listen to him so that he can guide us through life on the path that he has designed, not the path that our emotions want to pull us to. And so we've got both positive and negative emotions. God gives us emotions that when we are submitted to him. In other words, when we've said, Lord, I don't care what's going on here, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to be the person that you want me to be. I am asking you to help me to respond and to live my life in love like you love me. I want to be like you. I want to be someone you look down at and you smile because my heartbeat is the same as yours. I want to be the person that Christ died for me to be. That's my number one goal. And when I am in that place where I'm putting myself in God's hand, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, then the Bible promises me in due time, I will have to trust and wait, but in due time he's going to what? He's going to lift me up. And when I'm in that place, God gives me peace. And this is not the kind of peace that you get where you think, okay, everything's going well, so I don't have any hassles right now. I'm feeling okay. Because that peace can disappear really quickly. All it takes is what? One negative comment for a person, one person that does something unfair to you, one circumstance you didn't expect, and all of a sudden that peace is what? That peace is gone. But when it's talking about peace, it's talking about the confidence that I have in my heart that I know. Oh, that God is with me. I know God has a plan for my life. I know that what I look at here is temporary. But God has a plan and a purpose he's called me to that's beyond these circumstances. And I don't know what it is, but I know if I walk with God through those circumstances, I am confident that God is going to take care of me. Not just take care of me. He is going to make my life fulfilling and meaningful in a way that I am just going to love the person that God made me to be because his spirit dwells in me. So I've got a peace in my heart that no matter what happens, God will see me through. The opposite emotion is anger. Now we talked about this last week, and I'm starting on this chain as it goes down, but we talked about anger. Does anybody remember where anger comes from? Oh, well, I did a great job preaching that sermon, didn't I? that's why we're going through this chain, because you know, this is the kind of thing. I remember the first time that I saw someone who was teaching on this, and it was on a video cassette. And I came home and my life bounced around different places. And you know, when things were going good, I felt great. When things were going bad, I was all upset. And my dad said, you got to listen to this. And so I sat down and it was 8 hours, 3 videotapes. That's a lot. And I was on vacation and I came back and I put those videotapes in. And I listened to the first one and I thought, I never heard anything like this. And I listened through again and I listened to all 8 hours. And when I was done with those 8 hours, I said, you know what? I just don't think this is true. But for some reason, it made me curious, so I put it in. I watched the entire thing again. And when it was over, I thought, you know what? I think this might be true, and I think this is my problem. And I put it in, and I watched it again, all the way through. And when I was done watching it, the truth set me free. Because I realized that I cannot become or please God through my own self-determination. I can't work hard enough. I can't be dedicated enough. I cannot be good enough to please God or to earn his favor. But God has given me that through grace. And that when I am in his presence, I find the strength and the wisdom that I did not know I had, but I find it in my relationship with Christ, not in my efforts to please him. And understanding how God wants to lead me, and understanding that when the emotion of anger comes up, that that's God's spirit speaking to me and saying, hey, if you're close to me, you're going to have peace and confidence. If you start to walk away from me in your mind and start to focus on different goals than what I have for your life, and those goals start to become important, you're headed for some trouble. And I'm going to let you know, because some of those goals are going to get blocked. And you're going to realize that those goals, what you want for yourself, is more important than what I want for you, because you're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. You're going to have negative emotions that start to flood through your body. And those emotions are going to provoke you to act when? After you've thought things through? You're going to be doing things that you know you shouldn't do, that you don't want to do, because you've let those emotions control you rather than me. And so starting to recognize that is very, very important. Starting to recognize that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In other words, if I am not looking at God and trying to obey God myself, then how in the world is God going to use me to touch you, to bring you into submission to Him? If I've got the spirit of anger that says all of a sudden, okay, I worship God, He means more to me than anything, but Libby, you did that, you said that? Well, that's not what I want. And so right now, I'm going to have to do something to either get you out of the way or to manipulate you and control you to get you to do what I want, and then we'll go back right here. Well, see, I've communicated to her not the love of Christ and not the purpose of Christ, but I have communicated to her that who is the most important person in the world, Jesus Christ or me? You cross me, it's coming up. Now, I may communicate that with a cold shoulder. I may communicate that by chewing you out. But that spirit is going to communicate that Christ is not in control. And I cannot produce the things in other people that God wants if I'm mad at them. I can't produce the things in other people that God wants if I'm mad at something in my life, because I'm not communicating the Spirit of God, because I'm not in touch with it. Whatever captures your thoughts and becomes your focus becomes your God. It becomes what you worship. It becomes what is most important to you. It starts to captivate your mind. Once it does, it becomes a stronghold. And it can be very subtle. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be loved. But if wanting to be loved and you're loving me means so much to me that I am going to make my life and mold my life around getting your approval and getting your love and being respected by you, then that becomes an idol. And all of a sudden, I'm not doing what I think God wants me to do. I'm doing what I think you want me to do. And I don't even realize it. But whatever captures my thoughts becomes my focus. And so God has designed us so that if our focus is not on Him, it's not going to take too long until our emotions are going to tell us that. And anger is one of them. It gives a mighty foothold to the devil. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? If I focus on God's goal for my life, then no matter what happens, no one can keep me from reaching that goal. If God wants me to love even my enemies, and you do something bad to me, and I am trying to do what God wants me to do, so I speak in kindness, and who can keep me from being who God wants me to be? Only me. But if my goal is not on being the person that God wants me to being transformed through the renewing of my mind into the image of Christ, if my goal is on you loving me or on having security, then I can get angry really quickly at different things. And it gives a foothold to people, because you know what that anger is like? Gasoline. I get my life driving in a different direction than what God wants, and then here comes anger. And boy, that's like pushing the pedal to the metal, isn't it? Anger does not ever work the righteousness of God, but it allows the devil to take me places where I can get caught in traps I never wanted to be in. And his purpose is to steal from me the things that God wants for my life. It's to kill all the things in life that God wants to give me and to destroy all the things that God is trying to build. My anger can destroy my marriage. My anger can destroy my children. My anger can destroy everything, my reputation. And the devil wants me to let those things happen because I don't recognize what they are. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it in all its fullness, or have it more abundantly. In other words, anger has to be removed, because none of us think, boy, I got life in all my fullness. My life is so satisfying and so great, but I just am so mad at this person right here. This thing that happens, I just can't think of anything else. What a great life I have. We don't have great life like that. If we're going to have abundant life, it's because we're experiencing those fruits of the Spirit. You know when people feel the best? When they fall in love. All of a sudden they think, you know what? Compared to being with this person, nothing else matters. And things that affected them before are easy to sacrifice in order to be with that person. It's interesting how it revolves around relationship and being with the person, because that's the same thing that it is in our relationship with God. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. In other words, we make sure that we understand that when we start losing that confidence that God is at work in us right now, and that God has a purpose, and that we are aligned with Him, so we don't need to look at this stuff and worry about it because God is going to take us through. When we start losing that peace and confidence in God, then we need to stop and realign and resubmit ourselves and change our goals to His goals, because that peace of God is supposed to rule in our heart. Because when it's there, we know that God is leading us. Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives you." No one can take that peace away from you. No circumstance can. We watched a movie a couple weeks ago about a man who was 14 years in a prison getting beaten, and full of the peace of God, and full of the confidence. No one can take that away from you. Do not let your hearts be what? Troubled or afraid. Now, we talked about anger. Anger comes when our goals are blocked. Well, there we go. Okay, we're starting to get that. That's an important concept. You know, I dealt with that yesterday, because I was watching something, and it just started bringing these emotions up to me. I said, wait a second, hold it. Why am I getting upset? What goal do I have that would make me look at a human being that Jesus Christ loved and died for, instead of having compassion and wanting to see God work and be willing to sacrifice to help them find the love and mercy of God? What is it that I want that is making me irritated because they're behaving or speaking that way? When you understand that, it really helps you walk with God. If you're oblivious to the fact of what the emotions are supposed to be saying, then really it's like God speaking sign language to you, but we don't understand sign language. And He gives us that language. And He says, if your goals are blocked, you're going to get angry. But if your goals are uncertain, because, you know, we don't want to wait till we're angry. I don't want to wait till I'm angry before I turn to God every time. Now, sometimes I do, because sometimes those goals are hidden. I don't realize that they're things I'm valuing that God's not valuing until I start to get angry. But I don't want to wait that long with anything. So He tells us this. He says, there's kind of an in-between right here. Your goals aren't blocked yet, but they're what? They're uncertain. You don't know if they're going to happen or not. If you don't know if the goals are going to happen or not, what do you start to do? We start to worry. Our hearts start to be troubled. We start to be afraid. We start to fear. And it has the same effect as our goals being blocked does. When our hearts start to become uncertain of what's going on, that emotion makes us want to take what? Control. It makes me want to say, hey, I want to make sure that this works out. I want to start manipulating. I want to get into the flesh rather than waiting and trusting in God and being the person he wants me to be. Because I'm unsure how this is going to work out, and I'm unsure if my goal is going to go. I got to do something to make sure this happens. You see how that brings us across and how God warns us in our hearts not to continue down that path. So the Bible is telling us, don't worry. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that. He says, do not what? Don't worry. What things does he say it's okay to worry about these? Nothing, right? You can't even add a moment to your life or an inch to your statue, to your stature. There's nothing that you're supposed to worry about. Do not worry. Because worry causes those problems. Let me kind of give you a little example. When I was younger, in ninth grade, you know, the older kids that I was kind of hanging around with had a lot more freedom than I did. And they were going to these rock concerts. And so, you know, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to go. I wanted to think I was cool. I wanted to be with this group. I didn't want everybody going and then I didn't get to go. And so I wanted to go to this concert. And I really, you know, didn't realize that it might be something that my parents didn't really want, but I had a feeling that if they knew who Alice Cooper was, they might not want me going. And so I was uncertain whether or not my goal was going to get reached. And so what did I do? I worried. I tried to manipulate things. Now, when the answer comes, you can't go see Alice Cooper, and my goal is blocked, what happens then? That's when I get angry and I storm off to my room, shut that door real hard, or whatever is going on, okay? So worry is a problem that we don't want to have. If you dwell or meditate on your worries, they will develop into idols. That's another thing that most people don't realize. If I start to worry about something, what I'm worrying is because I'm uncertain that what I want is going to happen. Everything God wants is going to happen. Everything that God wants, unless I decide I'm going to rebel against him, can he make that happen in my life? Everything is. And so if I start to dwell and let those worries come and I'm thinking about all the things that I don't think might happen and I want them to happen and how can I make them happen and what happens if they don't happen and all of these things, and I start to dwell on that, what am I thinking about? What is the most important thing to me? What is occupying my thoughts that needs to be captured and brought into the obedience of Christ? And I don't even see that my worries and that loss of peace is God saying, stop. You know what I've done? I have taken away the confidence in you that things are going to happen and work out because you're fixing to go down the wrong path. And so when those worries start, we need to stop those. Anything that tends to make you anxious or worried is an opportunity for growth. And that's how we should look at it. When something rises up inside of me that makes me angry, I need to say, hold it. God is speaking to me. His goal in my life is to conform me to the image of Christ, to help me grow in Christ, to grow in the Spirit, to grow in faith, to grow in grace. And so he's saying, stop, turn, look at me. I want to teach you something. Cut the cord on whatever's pulling you before it gets a hold of you and makes you a prisoner. It's an opportunity for growth. Now, I'm not going to put these 13 steps up. I did this as an example of how most people want to look at things. This is what most people want. We're talking about worry. I have a problem with worry. I worry all the time. It consumes my thought. It robs me of my joy and my peace. I'm always, I said, tell me, how do I overcome worry? Okay, here's how you overcome worry. Recognize how little worry can help you. Okay, get that fact in your mind. That when I worry, it doesn't help me at all. I don't have any benefits from it. Okay, get that down. Learn that principle. Number two, recognize how much worry harms you. It's taking my health away. It's creating all kinds of problems with my relationships, and I'm not seeing the things I need to do. So you get all those things down right there. Nothing wrong with any of that, is it? Distinguish between worry and concern. Okay, let me start analyzing these things. What is something that I'm worried about? What is something that's a legitimate concern that God is bringing to my attention that I need to do something about. Move through, identify what triggers worry in your life. I guess I am going through them. Make the crucial choice not to worry. Trust God to deal with what worries you. Change rather than suppressing your thoughts. I'm going through them real fast. Develop healthier lifestyle habits. Look beyond your circumstances to God. Use prayer to reduce stress and anxiety. Everything is possible when you believe. Believe that God is going to work. And live in the moment. How many of you look at that and say, everything on that list is probably pretty good advice? Can I tell you something? Nothing on that list will work for you. You know why? Because that list is instructions for you in your own human ability to discipline yourself to have what God will not give you unless you are in His presence. If you want to spend time with Him because you love the pleasure of being in His presence and you love Him, He will work in your heart and He will give you the ability and the wisdom, and every one of those things will happen. If you want to try to make those happen without a personal, intimate relationship with God, good luck. I spent 40 years of my life trying to make those things happen by obeying the Word without the power of the Holy Spirit. God intends to not give us steps to do. Now, once we're in God's presence, He reveals these things to us. We may sit there and we may say, okay, you know, as I'm thinking about this, God, and I want to know, how do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do? It may come to your mind and you might say, you know what? This is something I need to be concerned about, and I do need to take some action, but I'm not worrying about it because God is guiding me to take this action because He wants to work in that way. Cultivate contentment. How many of you have ever tried to cultivate contentment in your life? How many of you have ever sat in God's presence? All of a sudden you had it, right? It's like that first girlfriend you fell in love with. When you're on that first date, you are content. And it doesn't matter if you end up where the movie's sold out and you got to go someplace else. You are content. Is God sovereign over every detail of your life? Yes. That was supposed to be answered yes. If God wants something done, can it be done? Yes. No one can keep that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's where anger comes from. That's where worry comes from. It's when we plan, we understand, we think we pull out what we need to have, and then we work at what we want because we think it will give us all the things that we need. In all you're supposed to do, submit to Him. Isn't it amazing how simple Christianity is? God says this, look, I created the heavens and the earth. You can't do any of that. I put all these pieces together. Even your own body is working because I organized it. If something goes wrong, see if you can fix it. We don't understand what's going on in life. But to look at that and say, okay, you know what's going on, and the only thing I know is that if I'm with you, you're going to make it work. So I am going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to act the way you want me to. I'm going to react the way that you want me to. I'm going to focus on my responses, not my circumstances. Jesus answered, I'm the way. I'm the life. I'm the truth. Being with Him is the answer there. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. You will never be what? Shaken. Isn't that amazing thing? When we're in the presence of God, all kinds of tough things can happen. But in our hearts, we get more and more convicted and stronger that we're going to see it through and that God will see it through with us. He gives us that peace. He gives us that ability. Well, I'm going to pull that right here because I think we've talked through most of what I had coming on the other. But isn't it great to know that God loves us? Isn't it great to know that God called you in your heart? How many of you know people who are not Christians who have heard the same type of truth that you've heard? But for some reason, God opened your eyes and revealed to you that he was speaking to you, and you decided you wanted a relationship with him more than you wanted the pleasures of this world. And when you turned to him, he grabbed a hold of you, didn't he? And he's got you in his hands. Who can take you out of his hands? Who can stop the power of God from achieving in you what he died on the cross for? Nobody. What is more important than being with him? Than returning that love? Than experiencing that love? Inside of him, we find that strength. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you love us. And Father, we know that this world dangles all kinds of things in front of us, and our heart wants a quick, easy fix to all the answers of life. But we know that through all the things that are happening, your goal is for us to see the depth of your love, your care, your involvement, and your wisdom in leading and guiding us through every detail of our lives. We ask you, Lord, to open our lives and open our hearts to understand as we walk through life when our focus is drifting from you. We ask you to help us to look at our emotions, to help us to analyze what changes we need to make to come closer to you. And so we ask you, Lord, just to work in our hearts, open our hearts to you, and let us see your love fully. We thank you that you forgive us. We thank you that you're patient. And we ask you to work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.